WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. Welcome to WGOD Radio with pastor and Bible teacher, Dr. Paul Esposito. God is always broadcasting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. As we tune into His frequency, we will daily hear His voice and receive instruction, encouragement, and daily direction in our lives. Now here to help tune you in is Paul Esposito.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker. I'm Pastor Paul Esposito. God bless you. Happy Friday to you. Thank you for taking 30 minutes of your Friday to join me here today. We're tuning into God's frequency today, WGOD. We're going to hear a word from Him today. You're going to hear it from a different preacher today. That is going to be from Minister Ralph Williams, great friend of mine, known throughout here, Brevard County, great preacher. And I wanted to replay one of his sermons. One of the many times that Minister Ralph has come by and ministered the word to the good people at Island Community Church. So prior to getting started there, I would like to, and I am going to, invite you to services this weekend, Sunday morning at 10:30. Going to look at another famous text in the book of Galatians. We're in chapter 3. We're going to look at a shocking statement for an ex-Pharisee to make. And that is the law, meaning the Old Testament law, 5 books of Moses, the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ so that we might be justified by faith. Paul taught that we are no longer under the old covenant law. He also wrote that in Romans chapter 6, verse 14, where it says, "For we are no longer under the law, but we're under grace." And don't kid yourself either. That's not a license for sin, and neither am I preaching that it is. Book, chapter, and verse, if you want to come into my office and argue about that, you'll know exactly where I stand and what our church has been taught. So, okay, Sunday morning, 10:30, we're in Galatians chapter 3. I invite you to come by, worship with us. God's doing an awesome work at our church. I invite you to come by and take part of that. 10:30, the Facebook feed will kick on live right at 10:35 in the morning. The app, Island Community Church FL, the sermon will be broadcast on there around 10:50. Okay, enough of me. Let's get into the word now. Minister Ralph Williams with today's message.
Guys, welcome. Good morning. It is a pleasure to stand before you to be able to render some truths that God has been showing me. Throughout the week, we've been studying this, and even shared this a while back at another venue, but the Lord said it's okay for here. So I'm going to give you what God has given me. As He so allows, we're going to be in the book of Philippians, Paul's letter to this church at Philippi. Our primary verses are going to be coming out of chapter 2, but our introductory scripture is going to be coming out of chapter 1, beginning at verse 21. And in this book, in this letter, we know that this is one of Paul's prison epistles. And I love the fact that he was incarcerated or under arrest, and he's ministering to folk who are supposed to be free. And listen, it seems like he has more freedom than what some of these have and even what some of we have. But even from the grave, he's helping us to see some truths. Beginning at verse 21 of chapter 1, and very familiar passages of scripture, and I guess with this one verse we could probably stay here all day, but we won't. He says here, "For me to live," if you're with me, please say amen. Amen. He says here in verse 21, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And listen, what Paul is saying here is that as long as I'm living, as long as I'm on this earth, as long as God will have me to have breath, whether I'm incarcerated, whether I'm free, whether I'm being tortured, it's going to be Christ. I'm going to do what He's called me to do. And I'm going to continue to do what He's called me to do. But the second part of that verse says, and to die is gain. And guys, sometimes I don't even know if we realize that look, this apostle says that when I leave here, it's a promotion. It's not me leaving or dying. It's going on to bigger and better things in Christ. He says in verse 21, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. But if I live, he says, in this flesh or in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. And look, what he's saying is that, look, I'm incarcerated, and if I stay here, I'm going to keep preaching. They're going to keep getting mad. I'm going to get arrested. I'm going to get beaten, many times left for dead. But this is going to be the fruit of what I do if I stay here. He says, but if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet he says, what I shall choose, I what not. And listen, he's saying if he had a choice, that he don't know which way he would go, knowing that if he goes to heaven, it's better. In verse 23, he says, for I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart to be with Christ, which is far better. And guys, I shared this with a class not too long ago, guys. Please know that even for a preacher, we don't always feel like ministering. We don't always in of ourselves feel like preaching. There are mornings when I wake up, I don't always feel like studying God's word. But guys, understand that because God has called me and called Paul, because he has called you and listen, has trained you, commissioned you, and gifted you, it don't much matter whether or not you feel like it or not. Listen, God never wakes me up in the morning and said, Brother Ralph, do you feel like preaching at Island Community Church this morning? He never confers with me. He says, Brother Ralph, you've been commissioned and called to go up to Merritt Island and render this truth. Never ask my opinion. And guess what? I don't even give it. I simply say, yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way, regardless of how I feel. And listen, that's kind of where Paul's at right here. He's helping us to see his heart. He says in verse 24, nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all. It says, for the furtherance and joy of faith. In other words, God's already confirmed this in his heart. He's simply sharing his heart. He said that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. And he ends verse 27. He says, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you look, stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. And look, Paul's telling this church that, listen, I don't know when I'm getting out, but God says I am, and I'm not done yet here on this earth, so I know one day I'm going to get to you. But even if I do or if I don't, you need to be doing what God has called you to do. You need to be striving together in one spirit, doing the work that God has called his church to do. Amen. Guys, I would ask that you be prayerful with me as I preach around this subject. Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And Father, as we dive ahead into this book in chapter 2, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that you will hide me behind your cross. And Father God, allow the words that you have had me to study this week in regard to this congregation, Father God, that you will bless them with your truth and allow it to fall on soil that's been prepared and is good soil. Father, we pray a special prayer for Pastor Paul and his ailments and Lord, whatever's going on there, Lord, you know. And listen, we just simply think we know. We ask that you pinpoint and bless and send him where he needs to be so he can be healed. But Father God, for this congregation, their healing this morning is coming from your truth. And Lord, as I stand, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that you'll allow me to be a vehicle to use so that I can express and expound on your truth in a way that's pleasing in your sight. As I pray in Jesus' name, and for his name's sake, amen and amen. Chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. If you're with me, please say amen. Paul begins in verse 1 of chapter 2. He says, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ. And by the way, as he goes through these if there be, he's presupposing for the believer that these things are true. He says, if therefore be any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if, he says, any bowels and mercy. And listen, for sure, we're blessed of God, so these ought to be true in our lives. In verse 2, he says, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be, look what he says here, like-minded, having the same love, being of, look, one accord, of one mind. And listen, he's speaking about the believer and God's giftedness. And I love the fact that God has gifted the body and each one has a different gift. And just like the human body, we don't rebel against parts of our human body. We ought not rebel against the giftedness that God has given us. And as we walk, as we run on for Christ, we should all walk in unison and in concert with what the Holy Spirit has directed that body to do. No schisms. Doing what God has called us to do. He says in verse 3, let nothing be done, look, through strife or vainglory. And look, he's pointing toward self-serving motives. And listen, sometimes we can get there. He says, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. And I got to tell you, sometimes we as human beings in time, even as God's children, we can get stuck in the me, myself, and I ministry, where it begins, comes all about me. What can you do for me? And listen, what can I do for myself? And maybe later on I might have a thought about somebody else. No, that's not how God had designed the body. He says, look, verse 4, not every man on his own things, but every man on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being, he says, in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. And listen, he was equal with God. And look, John chapter 1, and from verse 1 all the way down, it goes to let us know, it shows us his deity, that not only was he with God, but that he is God, he's deity. Not the big kahuna in the sky, not the big man upstairs. He is God, and we are to reverence him as such. Let this mind, verse 5, be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Look, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him, look, the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And listen, it boggles my mind how God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, before creation, were the only ones here. And there was going to be a creation of the earth and everything else and mankind. And the Godhead knew that we would sin. And listen, the Godhead also knew there was going to be a temporary fix for sin with animal sacrifices, but the Godhead knew that there needed to be a permanent fix for the sin issue. And you got God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And Jesus says, I'll be that fix for sinful mankind. And from heaven, he came to earth. And by the way, that's a downgrade for deity. He says, and put on flesh. And listen, he didn't do that for his own sake. He did that for our sake. And look, every time we think about going contrary, we need to think about what he did. Because he did not have to do that, but because of the love he had for us, even though we wasn't here, he did that and hung on Calvary's cross. And by the way, he did put on flesh. It was in the form of human flesh. But guys, his flesh was not like ours. Oh, yes, it was flesh and blood. Oh, yes, physically he could die, but had no sin nature. And his only motivation for putting on that flesh was to come to pay for the sins of many. Hallelujah, as he hung on that cross. And I think about, though I wasn't there, I know he had me on his mind. And every time I think about going contrary or doing something that I shouldn't be doing, I think about Christ and what he did to set this sinner free. He says, but made himself, verse 7, of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, look what it says. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And listen, not only did this God man come from heaven, come to earth, and come through the vessel of a woman and put on flesh, and listen, ministered for years, and listen, went to the cross at the round age of 33 years, hung on that cross, and listen, of all the deaths that Christ could have suffered, he picked the one that's the worst type of death and punishment and suffering that anyone could go through. And look, I got somewhat of the mind of Christ. He'd give me his spirit. But I can only imagine that God the Son said, look, I'm coming through here one time and one time only. I'm going to do this death thing. But y'all give it to me, all of it. And in fact, they tried to give him that vinegar mixed with gall, which would dumb it down. No, he wanted it all. Whatever it's going to take, because I'm doing this one time. And when I'm done, that's going to be it in regard to the payment for sin. And hallelujah, the next time you see me, I won't be hanging on a cross. Hallelujah. But you will bow to my excellence and my glory. Getting ahead of myself, but made himself, verse 7, of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, verse 9, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name, look, which is above every name. And guys, don't skip past that too fast. There's no name higher in heaven or in earth or anywhere else. Because he's Jesus the Christ. And God has put all authority under his name. And I don't care who you are, if you're worshiping Buddha, if you're a Hare Krishna, if you're trying to chant, if you're trying to work, you can't get to God's heaven unless you know that name. And look, I'm not talking about pronouncing it. I'm talking about knowing him for the pardon of your sins that you have asked him into your heart. Because he has shown you through the Holy Spirit that you're wicked and you're on your way to hell. And hallelujah, we see the fix, and only the name of Jesus Christ is the fix for my mess and for your mess. In verse 10, Paul writes that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under, the verse says, the earth. And by the way, that does include the fallen angels as well. Satan and his demons will bow. And he says, and that every tongue, verse 11, shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God or God the Father. And listen, number one is scripture. Paul's writing, but God's giving him what to write. So it's truth. And guys, even right now, there are some that think they're not going to bow. But the word says you're going to bow. And look, you're either going to bow now in submission, or you're going to bow later. And it will be oh so too late. Man, one of the things in the Bible that really gets to me, and listen, thank God I'll never go through it, but there are going to be some that go through it when they stand before the Lord, and listen, they say that, well, Lord, I did this in your name, and I did these works in your name, and I fed the hungry in your name, I gave money to the church in your name, and listen, he has to proclaim to them that depart from me, I never knew you, you worker of iniquity, and they'll have to depart. And at that point, they will have already bowed. And there are a lot of folk that think they're going to God's heaven for other reasons other than Jesus Christ. And if you're of that mind, or even know someone of that mindset, I pray when God allows, you'll set them straight. Paul says, and God says through Paul, there is no other name given under heaven by which man must be saved. He says in verse 12, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, he says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And you read that, and somebody might think, well, oh, we got to save ourselves, got to keep ourselves. But that's not what he's saying. He's saying that if God has blessed you to know who his son is, that he's individually called you and blessed you and saved you, that you need to recognize, first of all, who Jesus is, that he is God, and we're to reverence him as such. And secondly, because of this high calling, there are some things that he would have you to do, me to do. And look, I need to go to him to find out what that is. Because of all the giftedness, I know being a pew potato is not one of the gifts. And listen, sometimes we think that we come to church every week or every other week and we've done God a favor. But he saved you, not just for you, but he saved you for folk who you'll come into contact with. And look, he said that you're to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, knowing that I'm serving a mighty God, a holy God. I am serving him wholeheartedly, and there's something in the kingdom he would have me to do to be a blessing to somebody else. Not just to lead a church and say, man, wasn't that a good sermon? Let me go on about my business and do whatever I want to do. How about, man, the Lord spoke, I need to get busy. And listen, we are in this time of this pandemic. And listen, everybody's all housed up and locked up. And listen, they keep coming down with more stuff, with the riots. We got the election coming up. If you were ever going to get busy about the things of God, now would be the time. Man, I look at this group here, and listen, he would want to use you in the area where you live, where you work, where you frequent to be a blessing to the kingdom. And not tell somebody how to vote, not tell them even how to live, but tell them about Jesus Christ. And listen, if you're ailing, he's the fix of your problems. If you're broke, he's the fix of your issues. If you don't have a home, go to Jesus and let him save you, and he can direct you where you need to be. Man, he's the fix for all of life's diseases. If we only took him serious and allowed him to do with us, even this group here can reach millions as each one teaches one and tells one, and folk come to faith in Jesus Christ, because the church is doing what the church is supposed to do. Amen. He says in verse 12, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God, it says, which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. I was speaking to somebody this week, and they were sharing with me about some things in their life. And they were sharing, say, well, I'm not going to do this. I don't want to do that. I don't want to go here. I don't want to go there. And so I stopped them in mid-sentence, and I said, well, what if that's what God has called you to do? My life is not my own anymore. Guys, I'm living in Florida. I thank God I am from cold Philadelphia, because God directed me here. And listen, I'm preaching here this morning because God told me I am to preach here this morning. So listen, even when I'm going out, sometimes it gets where I'm saying, Lord, should I turn down this way? I see what the GPS is saying, but maybe you got somebody over here. And guys, it gets that way with me sometimes. And I bring everything under the umbrella of Jesus Christ. I lost my keys the other day, and before I even started looking, I said, Lord, where's my keys? And I walk out to my garage, and I look to the left, and my keys are sitting right there. Everything! And look, as much as I would not want to go back to the chilly weather in Pennsylvania, if God said go, oh, I got my druthers, but if God said go, hallelujah, man, I'm going. And I'm going as fast as I possibly can go because I need to be obedient to God. And you know what? This is the kicker. Every time that I've been obedient to the Lord, it's always, not sometimes, always been a blessing. Always. And every time when I've not been obedient, it's always been a shipwreck. That kind of tells you something. At least it tells me something. So when the Lord speaks, I listen. And listen, though I have my druthers, I have some things I'd like to do. But when I put them up against the Lord and what he wants me to do, and his don't match mine, I don't get my pen and cross it out of the Bible. I do what he says do. He says in look at 13 again. He says, for it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things, Paul's telling them, without murmuring and disputings. In other words, wherever you go, wherever God sends you, when you're ministering, don't complain. Just go do it and give it the best you got. He said that ye may be blameless and harmless. Look what he says. The sons of God without rebuke in the midst. Look, I love this. In the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. And I've heard it said, and I believe that guys, you might be the only Jesus Christ that anyone gets to see. And my prayer is, and listen, by the way, those folk that are watching you, that's your congregation. And listen, I'm hoping when you're having your service and your congregation is watching, I hope it's a fruitful service. I hope you're not fussing and complaining and cussing and going through all kinds of gyrations like the world. I hope that you're shining bright. And somebody said, man, every time I see that lady, every time I see that guy, there's something about them that's different. I need to ask them about the hope that they have because they got something I don't have. And listen, that's how the world should see you. Not that everything is always going well, but even when it doesn't go well, to God still be the glory. And your attitude is, God's will, he's going to somehow take care of me. And somebody ought to see that in you.
We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio. And on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time.